పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం తేనేశస్య విధీయతాం అపచితిః కామ్యే మతిస్త్యజ్యతాం పాపౌఘ పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే దోషోనుసంధీయతాం ఆత్మే చావ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్ తూర్ణం వినిర్గమ్యతాం. విసాది ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక ఆఫ్ సాధనా పంచకం ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ అండ్ లెట్ అస్ కంటిన్యూ విత్ ది సెకండ్ శ్లోక. సంగత్ సత్సు విధీయతాం భగవతో భక్తిర్దృఢాధీయతాం శాంత్యాది పరిచీయతాం దృఢతరం కర్మాశు సంత్యజ్యతాం సద్విద్వానుపసృప్యతాం ప్రతిదినం తత్పాదుకా సేవ్యతాం బ్రహ్మైకాక్షరమర్త్యతాం శృతిశిరః వాక్యం సమాకర్ణ్యతాం. సో విసా బై ది స్వధర్మ అనుష్ఠాన ద సీకర్ హీ హాస్ గాట్ ఎ నైస్ మైండ్ నౌ విచ్ ఇస్ ఓరియంటెడ్ టువర్స్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ. దట్ వాస్ వాట్ వాస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక, ద బ్రహ్మచర్య ఆశ్రమ అండ్ ది గృహస్థాశ్రమ అండ్ ఆల్సో ద పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ ట్రయింగ్ టు ఓరియంట్ ద మైండ్ టు అ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ. బట్ శంకరాచార్య హీ గివ్స్ ఎ వార్నింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ప్లేస్. నౌ ద స్పిరిచువల్ ఇన్క్లినేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పర్సన్ ఈస్ నాట్ వెరీ ఫర్మ్ అండ్ స్ట్రాంగ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఫీబుల్ ఓన్లీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ వెరీ స్మాల్ ఫ్లేమ్ విచ్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ బి పుట్ అవుట్ ఎనీ టైమ్ బై ఈవెన్ అ వెరీ స్మాల్ బ్రీజ్. అండ్ సో వన్ షుడ్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ దిస్ ఫ్లేమ్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ అర్జ్ అండ్ వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ నరిష్ ఇట్ అండ్ మేక్ ఇట్ అస్ అ హ్యూజ్ కాన్ఫ్లగ్రేషన్. హీ హాస్ టు డూ దాట్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బికమ్ అన్ ఇంటెన్స్ డిజైర్, తీవ్ర ఇచ్చ, స్ట్రాంగ్ అర్జ్, ఆల్మోస్ట్ ఇట్ బికమ్ అన్ అబ్సెషన్ లైక్ ఎ టెన్నిస్ ప్లేయర్, యునో సంహౌ క్రేవింగ్ ఫర్ ది వింబుల్డన్ టైటిల్ ఆర్ ది ఒలింపిక్ మెడల్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ అన్ అబ్సెషన్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ది సీకర్. అండ్ హౌ క్యాన్ వి మెయింటైన్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ అర్జ్ అండ్ డెవలప్ దాట్ ఫర్దర్? ఫార్ దాట్ ది ఆథర్ సేస్ వన్ మెథడ్ ఈస్ సంగః సత్సు విధీయతాం. సంగ సత్సు విధీయతాం, మే యు హ్యావ్ సత్సంగ, యు హ్యావ్ ది అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్ పీపుల్ స్పిరిచువల్ సీకర్స్ యాజ్ మచ్ అస్ పాసిబుల్, ఆర్ ది అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ వైస్ పీపుల్. వైస్ మెన్ ఆర్ ఐడియల్ ఫార్ సత్సంగ, దట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ. బట్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇస్ వాట్ సచ్ వెరీ వైస్ పీపుల్, జ్ఞానీస్ ఆర్ అ వెరీ వెరీ రేర్ కమాడిటీ, దే ఆర్ అ మైనారిటీ. మనుష్యాణం సహస్రేషు కశ్చిత్ యదతి సిద్ధయే, దట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ సెత్, యతతామపి సిద్ధానాం కశ్చిన్ మాం వేతి తత్వతః అండ్ శ్రవణాయాపి బహుభిః యోనలభ్యః. వి ఆల్సో సా దట్ ఇన్ కఠోపనిషత్. సో సచ్ వైస్ పీపుల్, సచ్ జ్ఞానీస్ ఆర్ వెరీ వెరీ రేర్. దెన్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద నెక్స్ట్ బెస్ట్? ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు సీక్ సచ్ జ్ఞానీస్, వీ షుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు మూవ్ విత్ ద సీకర్స్ who are similarly interested in the spiritual goal like us. So move along with such people. Satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmohatvam, etc. All we know. So because if we move with a strong materialistic person, then that person can easily even brainwash us. Because materialism is so powerful, so attractive. They will ask, have you seen Brahman anywhere? For that matter, has anyone seen? They will ask all these questions. Why are you chasing a Brahman whom no one has seen at all? And when you are young, yavat jivet sukham jivet. So as long as you are young and all, have a nice life. Who knows about next janma? Nobody has seen it. And even if there is one, will you be born again as a human being? There is no guarantee also. So have a galat time now. In the Sanskrit, there is a saying, rinam krutva gritam pibet. Even if you have to borrow money from somebody, you take full Mysore pak or whatever sweet it is, dipped in so much, soaked in so much of, you know, dripping ghee, and just enjoy it. So, basmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha They ask all these questions. Who knows whether we are going to come back or not? This body is going to become an ash. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya. So punarjarma we are not able to see. Brahman we have never seen. So is it not a wild goose chase? So you are missing your wonderful youth period now. And even if you want to take sannyasa, take it after 70 or 80. Why are you worried about now? At least there will be no loss then, because you have enjoyed everything by then. You cannot bite all these, you know, bhakshanams like murukku and all at your old age. But at least now you enjoy all of them. Why are you going to Vedanta or any of those things now itself? Look at us. That is how they argue. The people who are so materialistic arguments are so powerful that anyone can easily fall for that. That is why the materialistic philosophy is called Charuvaka Matam. Charuvaka means what? Charu is sweet. Sweet walk. It is very sweet to hear. Such principles are. And so until you are firmly established, the urge will be, his urge is well founded. Be choosy with respect to your friends, your acquaintances, the books that you read, the TV shows one sees, all those things one has to be careful. That's a caution. Once the faith has become firm, dridataram, nothing can change it. Till then one has to be on guard. So, sangaha sat suvidhiyatam. May you develop association with jnanis or mumukshus or such noble people. Then what is the next primary function in a vanaprastha ashrama? That's what we are discussing now. Bhagavataha bhaktihi adiyatam. Bhagavat bhakti adiyatam. Here the word bhakti, bhakti here means upasana. This is not bhakti in the karma sense. It is in the upasana sense, meditation of the Lord. Because he is now in the vanaprastha ashrama. The saguna ishvara like Rama, Ganesha, Devi or the Virat Surupa. So dridaha, intensely. Adiyata, may you resort to the worship, the upasana of such devatas. So, and upasana always goes with what? Ashtanga yoga, Patanjali. We have already mentioned this earlier. So, because Patanjali's yoga shastra is a very beautiful scheme to integrate a personality, to make a person an integral person. So, the 8 steps, they are talked in the Patanjali's yoga sutra. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, all those things, they are all the 8 steps in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. And Yama and Niyama, they will help in the integration of our actions. What are the 5 Yamas? What are the 5 Niyamas? We saw all of them in the introductory part of Sadhana Panchakam. So, Yama and Niyama will streamline our activities. Then Asana. That will integrate my annamaya kosha, my physical body, all the yogasanas. They are all beautiful methods to discipline the physical body, the annamaya kosha. Body is like a vehicle. It has to be kept fit. It has to be roadworthy all the time. And then pranayama, that deals with the integration of the pranamaya kosha, the breathing discipline. And pratyahara, that deals with the discipline of the sense organs. The management of all the sense activities, dharana, dhyana and samadhi, they help in the integration of the mind, the capacity to hold an information, focus and to get totally absorbed. All those things are talked about in dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So all the 8-fold disciplines Patanjali has provided as a beautiful scheme to integrate a personality, the personality of a person. And the only difference is what? In the Yoga Sutra, when they talk about focusing, they talk about various chakras, etc. in the body. So that is the Yoga Sutras. Whereas in Vedanta Shastra, we don't talk about any chakras. What we do? In place of them, we give various Ishta Devatas you can keep. Instead of that chakra and this chakra, you can focus on any Ishta Devata. The principle is same only, but the object is changed to Ishvara. From a chakra, you change it to Ishvara. And so Ashtanga Yoga is complementary to Upasana and vice versa we can take. And so Upasana has to be practiced during what time? During the Vanaprastha Ashrama. That is the 3rd stage of life. And then by the practice of the Upasana and Yoga, one should develop one more very, very important faculty, which actually we have seen in the Tattva Bodha itself, that is called Sashamadhi Shatka Sampattihi. Because in the previous shloka, we talked about Viveka and Vairagya and Mumukshutvam. All the three we talked about there, but we did not talk about Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti was not talked about then. Shamadama, Uparamati, Diksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, all those things we didn't talk at that time. And now, all this sixfold inner wealth, Sampat. So, what are those sixfold one? We will briefly see it now, even though we have seen it in detail during our Tattva Bodha lectures. Just only to see it briefly here. Shama. Shama means what? Thought discipline or mind control. Thoughts occurring without my knowledge. Thoughts occurring without my control. And thought, they are all called thought indisciplines. Whatever thoughts happen without my knowledge, without my control, they are thought indisciplines. And thought discipline is not stopping the thought, but capacity to channelize the thought in the direction that we want. That is called the thought discipline. Like building a dam, for example, to channelize the waters of the river for irrigation. Otherwise, the water will be wasted and flow into the ocean. So similarly, mind has got the tremendous energy, but it is wasted in all unwanted areas, unwanted fields. I only redirect or channelize the mind in the chosen field of my choice. That is called the Shama. And all the values will come in this context only. Daivi Sampath, thoughts to be encouraged. Asuri Sampath, thoughts that should be our negative thoughts. They all should be discouraged. What is Daivi Sampath and Asuri Sampath? All we are going to see in detail when we do Gita. But Krishna has enumerated them in the 16th chapter. That is, channelize the mind. That is the job. Therefore, Shama, Shama or Shantihi. Here, Shanti is what is used. So, Shantihi, that means thought discipline. And the second one that is not mentioned in this shloka, Dhamma or sense discipline. We have to include all of them. So, we have to supply Dhamma. So, sense organs functioning as I want and not as they want. For example, if you have a servant at home, Swamiji gives this example. If you have a servant at home, we want the servant to do what we want and not ask what he likes. So we should not have the question, who is the Swami and who is the Dasa? That question should never arise. We cannot tolerate that at all, but we forget that. We want to keep under check the external servant, the one who is at our home or at work. We want to keep him under check, but we fail in keeping the internal servants under our check. We have got the Pancha Jnanendriyani, Pancha Karmendriyani, Pancha Pranadayaha, and Chatwari Antakaranani, that is mind, buddhi, chitta, ahankara, all those inner equipments. So we have got, say, 19 servants. And everybody is, whether he is a big manager or a department head in his office or not, he is a big department head himself or herself. But I have allowed all of them to become swamis and I have become dasa to all of them. That I have not noticed it at all. I have been growing with this attitude but never have noticed it. Therefore, real swamitvam is not mastery over other people. That is why Swamiji always says, whenever people ask how to manage other people, I am a personal manager. He says, you can manage others only when you can manage effectively yourself. So after self-management, one can think of managing all others. Otherwise, in the name of managing, we will be only damaging. So, Shama and Dhamma. And the third one is called Uparama. That means the mind withdrawn from unwanted areas should not again run towards them, towards those fields again. Like, for example, if you take a mosquito, it will hum in our ears and you push it away. It will again come back and hum again in the same ears. Similarly, the mind and sense organs, they go to certain places. Withdrawing from there is Shama. But not allowing them to come again once again, that restraint is called Uparama. That is the difference between Shama and Uparama. Shankaracharya, he tells actually in the Viveka Chudamani, Swasva Golake Sthapanam. Swasva Golake Sthapanam. So, thought discipline, sense discipline, restraint of the mind, then all those things. And the fourth one is called Titiksha. Titiksha means the inner strength to face the inevitable, opposite experiences in life. forbearance, fortitude. In Tamil they say, edayum thangum idayam. Whatever happens, doesn't matter. There are certain inevitable opposites like heat and cold, arrival and departure. They are all samyoga, viyoga, jananam, maranam, sukham, dukham, mana, apamana, labha, nashta. All those things are all dvandvas. They are all opposites. So, nirdvandvaha, nitya sattvastaha, niryoga kshemaha, atmavan. Krishna said in the second chapter, that is called titiksha. For a person to maintain forbearance for all of them, capacity to withstand inevitable opposites. And the fifth one is called Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Faith in the scriptures and the teacher and the guru. Both, it should not be a blind faith. There is a difference between blind faith and constructive faith. Blind faith is what? Is accepting whatever the teacher tells. Just accept them. Even though I am not able to accept it internally. Then what is the faith here? If I am not able to accept something, I don't put the blame on the teacher, but I say that there is something wrong in my understanding. Don't blame the teacher, but say it is my understanding. I have not understood properly. Therefore, I will not blame the teacher or the Shastram, but I will ask him to teach me again to help me understand better. Then the teacher will explain again, and I find that my perspective is changed. If I don't understand, then also, I once again ask the teacher. I never reject the teacher or Shastram, but I question my understanding only, and I find that the nth time, then there may be no problem. It is not against logic, it is acceptable. That is what I get convinced. Lot of people come to conclusion because they understand, they think something, and they think this is what the teacher might have intended, and they blame the teacher also. So these are all, they all lead to very bad kind of effects on them. So even then, what generally people say, we will not say that they did not understand properly so far, but they will say, now only the teacher has explained it properly. So such people may even make remarks of that kind. So this is Shraddha. And the last one is called Samadhanam. Samadhanam is concentration. That is a non-wavering mind. A mind that is fixed. So, which is alone in Yoga Shastra is called Samadhi. Samadhi or Samadhanam. So, may you cultivate then in the Vanaprastha Ashrama so that the mind does not wander. Because in the Vanaprastha Ashrama, mind should not be wandering here and there, but it is committed to this thought. Not only that, even after withdrawal from any field, the mind continues to be in that field for some time. For example, if you really take people, even after retirement, mind will still keep on going to the office for some time. It's very difficult to get out of that. So, Vanaprastha Ashrama is that padding time in which the mind has to get used to the spiritual direction, getting away from all other wanderings. So, Shantyadim Parichiyatam. May you develop Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. All that thing, can you do that? Or may you develop Chitta Ekagrata, the focus. With this, the third stage, Vanaprastha Ashrama also is over. So now if you want to really sum up what we have done so far, Karma Yogena Chitta Shuddhihi, that is over. Using Karma Yoga, get purity of mind. And Upasanena Chitta Ekagrata, that is also is over. By doing meditation, you can gain focus. The Ekagrata. Now the person is ready for the last lap of the journey, the pursuit of Jnana Yoga by entering into the Sannyasa Ashrama. That is what he is telling here. Dridataram Karmasu Santyajyatam. May all karmas and upasanas be totally given up. Dridataram. Absolutely, totally, firmly, may all karmas and upasanas be totally given up. Not before this stage. He has to go through all that stages in the grahastha ashrama and all that. He has to do all that karmas and everything. But now, having come to sannyasa ashrama, may you give up all of them. Why? Because they have served their purpose. Like what? We all enter into the womb of the mother. Because the initial growth has to take place only in the womb. That is how the physical system is, the biological system is. And after 9 or 10 months growth, the child has to come out and then grow. It is not possible to grow without that condition of being in the womb. So even if it is a premature baby, sometimes the doctors have to artificially provide a womb, an incubator. Similarly, one has to enter school, grow, and cannot say, I will remain here itself. You have to go through all that. One has to come out of school. Or like a banana, for example, which needs the skin to ripe. Right? And when you want to eat, you have to remove that skin. All that has to be done. These are all rituals. Similarly, karma and upasana, they are like the shell of a chicken or the womb or the skin. They are like that. And they are all relevant only until a person gains the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Ripening that takes place. Afterwards, one should break open. So that is nakarmana na prajaya dhanena tyagena ke amrutattva manashiko. Therefore, may all the karmas and upasanas be renounced. May you renounce all of them. And this alone, they do it in a very ritualistic manner, because what the religious karmas are, when any religious karmas are done, they are also done in a formal manner only. Our rituals are some kind of a formality in which a particular function is done by taking the sacred thread. For example, Upanayana Samskara. The guru comes, Veda is uttered in the right ear. So the formal taking up of the religious duties that begins at that time. And then similarly, renouncing also is to be done in a formal process like retirement. Either you write a letter or they give you a pink slip. So there is a process there. So whatever, the formal renouncing takes place through the sannyasa ritual with the breaking of the sacred thread, removal of the tuft. Even the regular dress is removed, new dress is put. That is called entering into a monk's or sannyasi stage. This is the literal meaning here. But we should also see a practical meaning for all of us, because we all cannot take to the formal sannyasa as given here. Everybody cannot become a sannyasi, right? So even if you don't physically renounce, be like the coconut. When the coconut is become, a particular stage comes where the inner kernel is physically separate from the outer shell. You can also find the sound inside. And there is also this wood apple, we call it in Tamil as Vilambadam. If it is very ripe, you can rattle it and you can see the sound inside. The inside material is physically separate from the outside shell, right? It is so detached. That is detached. Therefore, nivritta ragasya graham tapovanam. So for a person who has got the inner detachment, for a nivritti margastaha, for him, even the house where he lives is like a tapovanam. For him, the house is an ashramam. And it also, the other way also, pravritta ragasya ashramaha graham. Whereas if there is raga attachment, even an ashrama will become like a house only, even after this person taking sannyasa ashrama, if there is attachment. Therefore, either physically renounce or mentally develop detachment. That is what one should do. And what is the sign of detachment? When I say I am detached, what do you mean by detachment? I am ever prepared to lose anything that is around. Whatever I have in possession today, I am ever prepared to lose any of them anytime. That is the sign of detachment. This is entering into the fourth stage or the sannyasa stage. And if karma and upasana cannot be performed, then what to do? Then Shankaracharya will say, take to jnana yoga, corresponding to the jnana kanda of the Vedas, the Purva Bhaga. The Upanishadic portions of the Vedas, they take to, what do you do at that time? Shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam. The last two lines of the shloka, they talk about that. So first Shankaracharya wants to emphasize that jnanam has to be pursued under the guidance of a teacher alone. That is very important. Jnanam cannot be just taken by oneself. This is the uniform declaration of all the scriptures and all the Mahatmas. Jnanam has to be pursued through the help of a guru only. The Upanishad very clearly says, Tad vijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigachet. One should necessarily go to a teacher only. actually in Chandogya Upanishad, all those things, the knowledge gained from a teacher alone will be beautiful, fruitful. They are all very, very firm in their declarations. Without a teacher, knowledge will remain only an academic knowledge. It will give information, that is true, but it will not give transformation of the inner personality of the person. And Krishna also very, very clearly says in the Gita, Tadvidyam pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. And so one requires a teacher. And this is proved by our day-to-day experiences also. For example, to learn anything, if you want to learn anything, we go to a teacher, whether it is physics, chemistry, mathematics, music, pottery, whatever. We go to a teacher, we take training, and we take guidance. So without the help of someone, no aparavidya itself can take place. Then what is the question of getting paravidya, atmajnanam? How can one get without the aid of a teacher? Therefore, a teacher, a guru is a must. And even if we might have read this in some books of some people gaining wisdom without a teacher, some people, you know, by themselves they got wisdom. We should take such cases only as an exception rather than a rule. We do accept that every rule has exception. Exception, we all know that. And we do see geniuses in a lot of fields, whether it is music or mathematics or whatever it is. We have heard of Ramanujans, we have heard of Mandalini Srinivas. All these people, they are all geniuses. Where without much guidance of a teacher, they have become great by themselves. But having read or seen such cases, we should not conclude that there is no need for schools. We cannot make such conclusion at all. We take Ramanujan as an exception as a prodigy, and continue to still have schools, colleges, teachers, all those things we still have. The same rule can be extended to spirituality also. Here also the same rule applies. We do have spiritual geniuses also. The Upanishad itself, it talks about, you know, Vamadeva Rishi. He can be considered to be a great Rishi who got knowledge in the womb of the mother herself. When he was in the womb of the mother herself, he got knowledge. Even Upanishads do talk about exceptions. There are a lot of exceptions. By reading that exception, if we conclude that teachers are not required, that is a wrong conclusion. We cannot make such conclusions at all. Therefore, Shankaracharya says very clearly, better go to a guru, go to a teacher. And the second thing is, even if we can accomplish something without a teacher, for example, we can accomplish the same thing faster with the help of a teacher. Even finding an address in a new place, these days we have got all this GPS and all those great things. But those days, if you want to find an address in a new place, instead of ourselves trying to go from one street to the other street, we might as well inquire to someone humbly to get the direction. So even if it is possible theoretically everything is possible, it is not wise to attempt independently. It is wise to go to a guide. And as Shankaracharya says, Sadvidvan Upasripyatam. May a wise man be approached by you. Sadvidvan Upasripyatam. And what type of wise person he should be? Sadvidvan. Actually, we can give two meanings for this. Sad means the Brahman. So, Sadvidvan means Brahmajnani. May a Brahmajnani be approached by you. That is one meaning. And the second meaning is, Sad means a competent, qualified Vidvan. A person who is knowledgeable. May a competent Jnani or a qualified person be approached by you. So by the adjective, the idea conveyed is what? We should approach a jnani or a wise person who has been a disciple of some guru, most important. He should not be a self-proclaimed teacher. He should be a student to some other teacher who has studied, this person has not studied independently. He has not read in translations and arrived at some meaning and started to teach. Don't go to such academicians at all. Go to someone who had been a disciple himself. And such a person we call Sampradaya with Guru. A person who has become a guru according to our Sampradaya, the Guru Shishya Sampradaya, who knows the traditional method of teaching, the traditional method of communication. That alone has withstood the test of time, that alone will be effective. Which tradition has started from? సో నారాయణం పద్మభువం వశిష్టం శక్తిం చ తత్పుత్ర పరాశరం చ వ్యాసం శుకం గౌడపదం మహాంతం గోవింద యోగీంద్రం అతాస్య శిష్యం శ్రీ శంకరాచార్యం అతాస్య పద్మపాదం చ హస్తామరకం చ శిష్యం. దిస్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ది నారాయణ పద్మ శ్లోక అవలేం రీడింగ్. తమ్ తోడకం వార్తీకారం అన్యాన్ అస్మద్ గురూన్. సో ఆల్ దోస్ గురు పరంపర, ద పీపుల్ హు కమ్ విత్ సచ్ ట్రెడిషన్ అప్ టు దాట్ ఐ వర్షిప్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్. సో దీస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ పరంపర హ్యాస్ బీన్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ డౌన్, ద నాలెడ్జ్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ డౌన్ ఇన్ దాట్ మేనర్. సో చూస్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ కమ్స్ ఇన్ దాట్ పరంపర. One has to choose such a person as the guru. If anyone claims that he has gained jnana without a guru, there is no need to do ninda of him. One doesn't have to insult him. If you want, one can do namaskaram to him also, no problem. Nothing wrong, and there is no caste also. But just to do that and come back. Don't try to follow him. Perhaps the person may be misled. That is what Shankaracharya cautions, to show that he is a sadvidvan. So sampradaya vid vidvan upasrupyatam. And from this, Shankaracharya conveys another very, very important idea also. If we have to approach a vidwan and gain knowledge from him, then that vidwan should be a live vidwan or it should be a dead vidwan. You cannot approach a person. Shankaracharya may be the greatest guru. Shankaracharya has taught all these. He may be the greatest guru. We can have all respect for him. But he is not available to me today for interaction to clarify my doubts. I cannot just start taking the books and read about what Shankaracharya said by myself. Nor can I do any service to him also, because he is not available. And therefore, may you approach a live vidwan who has come in that parampara. The other Mahatmas can be kept for inspiration, worship, chitta shuddhi. Look at all of them. See their examples. And that can give you inspiration. But for my day-to-day learning, I need a live teacher with whom I can ask questions always and get them clarified. So for sadvidvan, we can say this meaning also, for example, because sad means alive, sat. Of course, the interpretation is not generally taken, but one can interpret it that way also. It should be only sadvidvan. If you write sad in English, it is S-A-D, vidvan. He should not be a sad vidwan. He should be a sadvidwan who will be able to impart this knowledge, because this knowledge is considered to be a very important, very intricate knowledge. Then what do I do then? Pratidinam tad paduka sevyatam. May his sandals representing his feet be worshipped by you. Pratidinam namo namaha shri guru paduka abhyam. May his feet be worshipped by you, served by you. Pratidinam, daily. And this alone Krishna said in the 13th chapter, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham, Stairyam, Atma Vinigraha. That Acharya Upasanam, that is the intent here. So Acharya Upasanam. So the next question will be what? Why should we worship a teacher who is also another human being like me only? Why should I worship him? Because the ego will not permit that easily. So the worship has got many significances in our tradition. And the first one is, it helps to weaken my ego. Our ahankara is so strong, it is difficult to worship and fall at the feet of another person. The ahankara will not let you do that. That is why from childhood, we train our children to do namaskaram to elders, to parents, elder brother, swami, etc., all those people. It is to weaken the ahankara. And the second reason is, the student is not going to learn directly from the scriptures. One cannot directly learn from the scriptures. They are not going to speak to him directly. The scriptures will not speak to him. Even though they contain the knowledge, it is like a cassette. I cannot directly get the message from the cassette without the aid of a player. A cassette player is needed. Similarly, Upanishads themselves do not speak to me. Therefore, I get the Upanishadic teaching through a teacher only. So for the student, the Shastram is equal to Guru. For the student, Shastram itself is the Guru. Therefore, there is no Shastram other than Guru, because he does not have direct access to Shastras. because the student doesn't have direct access to the Shastras, he needs a guru. And the guru also tells what is the Shastras only. He doesn't tell anything himself. He may take some example here and there to explain what is contained in the Shastra, but he will not give anything new himself. Even Krishna doesn't claim anywhere that anything he teaches new. All that are all in the scriptures only. That means he must develop as much faith in the guru as the Shastra. That should be the faith of the student. And it is not easy to develop faith and trust in a totally unknown person. The guru should be maybe a totally unknown person. How can one develop such an unconditional faith in him? He may have big beard, saffron robes, all those things may have. They may not just give us that kind of faith. We may at best do namaskaram to him and go away. But to have that total trust and that unconditional faith in that person is not that easy. And how do you develop that kind of shraddha or faith to such a teacher? It is very difficult because there is no logic in faith. If you really take faith, you cannot logically explain faith. And that is why people who are used to science and logic and who claim to be very rational, they dread the word faith or shraddha because faith cannot be logically explained. So faith is not a logically derived attitude, but is something that should grow in me gradually. And for that, I need some certain conditions. It cannot just grow gradually. I need some conditions. How does the child develop faith in God, for example? You cannot use logic there. What do you do? From childhood, the parents, they take the child to the temple or to such places of worship. And as even as a baby, we tell the child to do pradakshinam, to do namaskaram, to take teertham, to take prasadam. Keep prasadam carefully, get it in the right hand, don't throw it anywhere as you want. So certain physical actions are done which create an inner attitude in the child as the child grows. And those actions are puja, service, namaskara, pradakshina, all those things that we do, which are all physical activities only, which gradually create an attitude of divinity, attitude of bhakti, a shraddha. And until that trust comes, communication cannot take place. Teaching cannot take place. Teaching has to be effective means what? Communication should be effective. So they don't start teaching for some time, make the child do only several actions, this action and that action. In the Gurukula also, the child is taught to serve the teacher, wash the clothes, massage the legs of the teacher in the night perhaps. They ask the Shishya to do in the Gurukula system, all these things they ask the Shishya to do. Not only the student can develop Shraddha in the teacher also can observe the student whether he is fit enough to receive the highest teaching. The teacher, he now closely observes the student and examines him. Because Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, Mumukshutvam, all of them are required for a person to gain self-knowledge. And if they are weak or they are not there, the knowledge may not bless that child. They may not bless that person. And sometimes one may develop vairagyam or hatred towards Vedanta also. That is why Krishna warned very strongly in the Bhagavad Gita, na buddhi bedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam. Krishna said very strong, do not confuse the people, buddhi bedam, by giving Vedanta if they are not ready to receive that. One has to be careful whom one teaches Vedanta. Just as the milk has to be poured in a clean vessel, otherwise it will get spoiled. That is why the teacher will watch for about 6 months or 1 year, sometimes even more, how the child performs. So, pratidinam tad paduka sevyatam. May you develop a rapport with the teacher. Worship his sandals. Worship him. And not only that, sometimes the student may be lacking in some of the qualifications also. Not that all students can be very bright uniformly. Some students may lack in certain qualification. Vairagya may be feeble. Shama may be very weak. Titiksha may not be there at all. Person may have no patience at all for anything. They used to do it seems in those days in the Gurukula, not to add salt in the food one day. Every day food will be very nice. One day they will not add salt to see how the students react. These are all just tests. These are done to see how sincere he is getting this knowledge. whether he is particular about the taste and other things, or whether he is interested in the knowledge. If the student lacks some of this qualification, the teacher can prescribe certain exercises to improve that, like japa, to fill in the blanks. For this also, a few months gap was left. And not only that, the teacher will give different types of jobs to different students, just like a doctor gives different medications to different patients. To one, he will say, eat lot of food. And the other one, he will say, don't touch food at all. The teacher might say, the patient should not get angry that he asked the other patient to eat. One cannot get angry. Whereas, I love food as much, but he is not asking me to eat food. He is asking the other patient to eat food. So the student may feel the guru is partial. He makes the other student to work in the temple, whereas he asked me to wash his clothes and cleaning the bathrooms. So the student, if he does not have faith in the teacher, he may have doubts about the teacher's qualifications. Whether he also has raga dvesha issues or not, he may suspect. And if the student develops such a doubt, again the communication channel will be broken only. And so we chant daily, Ma Vidvishavahai, whatever happens, I should not mistake the teacher. It's a prayer for that. Teacher may have what? Because your ability to understand the teacher is very limited. One should acknowledge that and then should not go ahead and become judgmental about the teacher. Sometimes it is even considered a sin. So I may not be able to explain some of the actions taken by the teacher, but all the time, I have got faith that for my good, he says this. I won't misunderstand him. But if the student thinks that the teacher has ragadvesha, he will quit and find another teacher. And the teacher will not waste his time. And for all these, they have some time in the beginning. So the teacher gives that probation period to observe this student. In Prashnopanishad, that says, Ekam samvatsaram samvatsyatha. Stay for a year in a gurukulam. Anantaram prashnan prichyata. Ask questions then. Yedi vijnasyamaha sarvam havo vakshyami. I cannot guarantee if I know, I will answer. These are all to develop a rapport, which is very, very important between the student and the teacher. Therefore, tat paduka sevyatam. Be an obedient student. Learn to obey without questioning. Why should I do it? Why not him? Should it not be done? Should it be done now only? Why not tomorrow? All those questions don't ask. Just to do when the teacher asks you to do anything. The one who obeys alone can command later. He only will know the real value of obedience. Then the last line, it says, Brahmaikaksharam Arthyatam. Once the channels are open, the communication is open, the rapport is very good between the teacher and the student, then Sishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prampannam, that's what as Arjuna said, the once the Sharanagati has taken place between the student, for the student with the teacher, then what should be done? Brahmaikaksharam Arthyatam. May Brahman knowledge be asked for. All are in passive voice actually here. May Brahman knowledge be asked for. All are, this is called Karmani Prayoga Atmanepadi Lot. This is, I don't want to get Sanskrit grammar again. So what should you ask for? Brahma, which is the same as the Atma mentioned in the first shloka. So Brahmatma, the infinite reality, which is Eka Aksharam, Eka Eka Aksharam, Eka Eka Aksharam. So Eka Aksharam, Brahma Eka Aksharam, Eka means non-dual. Non-dual, and aksharam. Aksharam means imperishable. So ekam indicates that it is free from spatial limitation. It is ekam. There is no spatial limitation at all. And aksharam indicates that it is free from time limitation. So Brahman has no time limitation or space limitation. So desha kala paricheta shunyam Brahma. And in this context, Brahman should be understood as Brahma Jnanam, not Brahman itself, Brahma Jnanam. So as for Brahma Jnanam, Arthyatam means may it be asked for. So once the student
As for Brahma Jnanam, the teacher will point out that Brahma Jnanam can be gained by only one way. The teacher will make it clear to the student. And what is that? Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam. That is the only way one can gain Brahman knowledge. Atmava, Hare Drishtvya, Drishtavyaha, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha. So, Jnana Yoga consists of the threefold processes. What are those? Shravanam, that is first. Mananam is the next second. And Nididhyasanam is the third. Shankaracharya, he is going to explain each one of them briefly actually. So, he says, Shruti Shiraha Vakyam. Shruti Shiraha means Veda Antaha. Shruti means Veda. And Shiraha, Shiraha means Antaha, so Vedanta. So, Shruti Shiraha means Vedanta. And another name for that is Upanishad. So, Shruti Shiro Vakyam means Vedanta Vakyam or Upanishad Vakyam. So, that's what he says. And Samakarnyatam, may you listen to the teaching of the Vedanta Vakyam or the Upanishads. May you listen to that teaching. And it is not a casual listening. Like I come to the class one day and then again for another three classes I don't. And then I come again after 1 month. So, it is not like that. It is not an inconsistent listening. It should be a systematic, consistent for a long time. Such a listening should be learned in steps only, like a flight of stairs. You cannot build the fourth floor without the first, second and third floors. Anything you have to build up only gradually. Foundation should be there, first floor, second floor, third floor. Similarly, Vedanta also. Tvampada Viveka through Annamayadi Kosha study only. One should know about the Jiva, nature of the Jiva. Tvampada Viveka, inquiry into the Jiva. Through the Annamaya Kosha, Annamayadi Koshas. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya Koshas. And studying the Panja Kosha Vichara, Avastatraya Vichara, to understand the meaning of the Tvampadam. So the three Avastas, Jagrat, Sopna, Sushupti Avastha, Sharira Trayam, Pancha Kosha Viveka, all those things one has to study to understand the meaning of the Tvampadam referring to the Jiva. Then Tatpadartha, Ishvara, Tatpadam refers to the Ishvara. That should be understood also through again proper analysis. And finally, the identity of their essential nature has to be understood also. That is the Asipada. That also has to be understood. So this is called systematic study. Tvampada should be understood. The Jiva, the nature of Ishvara, and finally how the nature of the Ishvara and the Jiva are one and the same, the Asipadam, they all has to be understood systematically. So the first one is called the analysis of Jivatma, and the second one, you know, in that analysis of Jivatma, whatever feature is there all the time, that is my essential nature, that is the understanding. In the analysis of the Jiva, the understanding is what? Whatever feature is there all the time permanently, that is my essential nature. Whatever is an incidental feature, it cannot be my nature. For example, water is hot, let us say. Still, we don't take heat as the essential nature of water. Why? If heat were to be, then water would be hot all the time. But fire, if you take, has got a heat as its essential nature because it is permanent. So, whatever is permanent feature is intrinsic nature, and whatever is impermanent feature, that is an incidental feature. This analysis one makes, that is essential nature of the Jivatma, one arrives it through this analysis. And what is the essential nature we arrive at that time? It is chit, or awareness is the only essential permanent feature of the Jivatma. The chit or the awareness. And this has to be systematically studied by the student. And one should be convinced that my essential nature is chit or awareness. So, tvampadartha chit should be kept in mind very clearly. Tvampadartha, the padartham, the implication of the term tvam, the jiva. Then we have to find out the essential nature of the Ishvara, the Paramatma. So, Jivatma is microcosm and Paramatma is macrocosm. And that has to be analyzed where the Srishti Vichara will come. The analysis of the creation, Srishti. Wherever you talk about Ishvara, Srishti will come. And they use, and with this analysis of the microcosm. So, and the macrocosm. Through the analysis, we come to the essential nature of the totality. The microcosm and macrocosm. And what is the essential nature we arrive at? It is Sat. the pure existence. That is the only permanent changeless nature of creation, Sat. Everything else is incidental. They are all subject to change. Existence is the essential nature of Paramatma. So, Tvam Padartha is Chit, for the Jivatma it is awareness, and Tat Padartha for the Ishvara it is Sat, the existence. And once these two are understood clearly, then comes the Mahavakyam. What is the Mahavakyam? Tat Tvam Asi, which means what? The pure existence and the pure consciousness are one and the same. Pure existence is pure consciousness, and pure consciousness is pure existence, which is revealed through the Asi Padam. In Tattvam Asi, Asi Padam indicates this identity. So one has to go through these vicharas systematically. We are not going into the details of the vichara. We are only outlining that one has to go through all these things systematically. Tvampada vichara, Tatpada vichara, and Asipada vichara. Vichara means what? Mimamsa, analysis. And all this Shankaracharya indicates by the prefix sam, sham, akarnyatam. Akarnyatam means what? May you listen. May you listen. Sham, sham means systematically. May you listen systematically, and not once in 6 months or 3 months or 8 months. Not, but consistently listen to that. And also for a length of time. It is for a length of time, because what you don't understand in the first class, it will be clarified maybe in the second class or after a month. So one should be consistent in listening to them and learning. And again, when you listen to the second time, it becomes clearer. And one may say that the teacher is improving perhaps, if it becomes clearer. But whatever it is, it becomes clearer. So, Shama Karnyatham, may you do Shravanam. May you listen to these things. So, again, more about the Shravanam, Acharya is going to talk about it in the next shloka, which we may perhaps see in the next webinar. If I start now, I cannot complete that. So, we will do it in the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swaraprokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Atmanastu Narayana.